Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special. That definitely ministered to my heart and spirit. Praise the Lord for that. Luke chapter 5. Luke in chapter 5. Sunday nights we've been going through and teaching and preaching a series on the teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ and the messages that Jesus would present to the disciples, that which has been recorded for us to glean from and be strengthened by. Started out with him at 12 years of age, and we have worked our way through, and now we're in the second year of his public ministry. And here the next event would be found in Luke in chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. It's the healing of a leper. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read this together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it came to pass, when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, and again, we thank you, Lord God, for your presence. We thank you for what we have already been ministered to through the preaching, through the singing of songs and specials. And now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture and prepared our hearts, I pray that you would now reveal to us that which you would have us to receive and be strengthened by. I pray that you would just bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jesus heals a leper. And God has recorded it for us as a New Testament church to be able to be helped and blessed by this healing. First of all, we find in verse 12 that it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Condition of a man that Jesus would work in his life. The man's condition is his struggle in life. Now you can stop and just think about what it would have been like some 2,000 years ago in Israel to have leprosy. Changed everything. It was the circumstances that he was facing. We all face circumstances. I've often said we all have issues. But we all face circumstances of life, and everyone's a little bit different. But this man was, the Bible says, his circumstances is that he was full of leprosy. The most dreaded of all diseases known to man, leprosy. Today, no doubt, we have things that we would dread, cancer, Alzheimer's. You might have something that you would fear that you might have to go through as far as circumstances, the struggles that you might face in life. But this man's condition was as bad as it gets, I think. So all of us can relate to it. The pain level that this man would have been going through would have been off the charts. The Bible says he was full of, means that he was in the advanced stages of leprosy, which has a flesh-eating bacteria that they would have to put rags around. There's nothing they could do about it because the flesh was just being eaten off his body. They would a lot of times lose limbs. So much pain. His suffering. There was no cure. No cure for what he had. Just the idea of going through so much pain, knowing that there's not a cure, would almost sympathize with somebody wanting to end it. I'm sure glad that this man didn't end it prematurely. And I guarantee you, after he met Christ, he was very thankful that he hadn't ended it prematurely. But no doubt thoughts are there. Just heard the suicide rate in the United States is continuing to escalate of all ages. Suffering without any known cure for what he had. There would have been extreme isolation, with isolation from his wife, children, family, friends. Can you imagine the loneliness? Sometimes we feel like we're the only one and there's nowhere to turn and no one can help us because they can't identify with what I'm going through, and on and on and on. What an example that we have in this man's condition, his struggle in life, facing the advanced stages of leprosy. That's what it tells us to start with. There's a man full of leprosy. But then it says, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him. He saw Jesus. Not all see him because not all seek him. But he is here to be found by anyone who diligently seeks him. We have that because we know that God loves humanity. It was because of God's love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves humanity. And because of his love for humanity, that's why Jesus is available to be seen. And he is no respecter of persons. And that's why he tells us to go into all the world and reach all people, to give them an opportunity to see Jesus. As he saw Jesus, he had the right kind of attitude. Can I tell you, we can learn from this leper's attitude tonight. God has recorded it for us to be able to learn from it. He understood his condition. He understood the pain level, the suffering, the isolation. And he didn't see Jesus and say, why? If you're who you say you are, then why have you allowed this disease in my life? He saw Jesus and immediately reverenced him. This is recorded because this man got healed of leprosy. And so as we get our prayers answered and we actually, no matter what it is that we're dealing with, God can help us with that if we approach God and we do things in a right way. We find this man, it can't get any worse than what this man was. And yet he was able to see Jesus in the latter stages of this leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, the Bible says, he fell on his face and besought him. He reverenced him. He worshiped him. He fell on his face before him. And he besought him, meaning that he just simply asked. Whatever our need is, when we see Jesus, humility plays a huge role in the outcome. Because humility before God is a must. James in chapter 4, let me read this to you. You can write it down. You know the verses, I'm sure, but I want to read it to you tonight. In the book of James in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says this, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, because the devil would have you to yield to pride and selfishness. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." The Bible says in verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." You might be facing some of the conditions today that you say there's too much pain, there's a lot of suffering, all the different things that this leper man was going through. And you have an opportunity to see Jesus. And you might even be aware of Jesus. But your attitude could keep you from having answers to prayers. He reverenced him. After he reverenced him, he came believing, knowing who he was. Because he says in verse 12, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Thou can do it. There's nothing too hard for God. He came to him reverencing him. He came to him believing that he could do whatever God wanted to do in this man's life. He understood that only God could do what he was asking, that he would ask him to do. There was no known cure. There are certain things, if God doesn't act in the midst of it, it's going to lead to certain things. There are certain relationships that are headed for divorce, separation from children and parents. And you need God to maybe restore a desire. You need God to maybe work something that only God can work. Only God could do what he was asking. And what God could do would be dependent upon it being God's will. If thou wilt. He understood this. If thou wilt. I love this leper. I mean, I don't know exactly who witnessed to him, who pointed him in the direction of Jesus Christ, all that was going on. The Bible doesn't say that, but the Bible gives us the testimony of this leper who was healed of leprosy. He came believing that if it was God's will, that God could and would answer his prayer. Can I tell you tonight, we must direct our prayers to be according to God's will. In the book of Mark in chapter 14, again, you can just write these down. But Mark in chapter 14, Jesus presented this very same thing as an example and a testimony to us. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, and he said, Jesus addressing God the Father, and he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. You can do whatever it is needs to be done. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. That's what this leper understood. The illustration, the testimony of this leper that God has recorded for us is something that we need to learn from. We must direct our prayers to be according to God's will. Understand this. Nothing can persuade God to act opposite His will. God is not going to act opposite His will. For it's God's will. It's what He's looking to accomplish on this earth. King David understood this. He learned this. He realized this in the book of 2 Samuel. And again, write these verses down. 2 Samuel, I want you to get the message tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And David, his great sin with Bathsheba, it produced a child in whom God told David that he was going to take the child. The child would not live, but he would die. And this was something that God was working not only in David's heart and life, but Bathsheba's heart and life, and the family's heart and lives, the nation of Israel, and a testimony for us as we go back and read this particular account in Scripture. But what David did is found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. He started fasting and he started praying until the child died. And all of those around was taken back by that. After the child died, he got up and he ate and washed himself. And they asked him what was going on. In verse 22, it says this, and David said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept, for I said, who can tell? I don't know if it's God's will that it's etched in stone, or if I don't know whether it's God's will or not. And so I'm going to do everything I can to persuade God, but it will be according to His will. And he said, while the child was alive, yet alive, I fasted and I wept, and I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now, he is dead. It was not God's will to keep him alive. Could God have kept this child alive? Yes. But it was God's will that, for whatever reason, that's up to God. But we understand God's will is not only right, it is what's best for our lives. Wherefore should I fast? I'm not going to pray opposite God's will. That God would work opposite what he said he was going to do at this point, knowing now that it was God's will to take the child, that the child would not revive. Wherefore should I fast? Bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. See, in the midst of this, the grace of God was available to David to get up off of his face, stop praying, stop fasting, wash himself, and get on with the work that God had called him to do, because that was God's will. And God would grant him the grace to even handle the death of a son, and to continue to accomplish God's will. Always pray in God's will. Never try to persuade God to work opposite His will. But when you understand the will of God, once it's settled, look to the grace that'll keep you going forward. Yeah. He came believing and asking God to heal him of this leprosy. Another thing that he did there, if you go back into our text here tonight in Luke in chapter 5, he came wisely. Where else could he turn? Sometimes we get upset and we want to rebel and we ask, why, but then who are you rebelling against? Why are you getting upset with God? The worst thing anybody could do when you go through some of the devastating trials of life is to get upset with the solution to whatever it is you're dealing with. The help that's available. The old devil would love to be able to put a wedge between you and God and play a blame game or whatever it might be. And yet God loves you. He's proven it by sending his own begotten son to die for you. Where else are you going to turn? What is it going to do to help by getting out of church? By stop reading the Bible? Stop reverencing God? That is not helping the situation. It's only going to make it worse. He wisely looked to Christ, knowing he was the only one that could bring healing into his life. Can I tell you that God desires to carry out his will? Verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. You've asked for me to do this, and you've came to me in the right order. You've done exactly what I would have you to do, and because you've done exactly what I have you to do, and you've asked and humbled yourself before me, and you spent wisdom in turning to me, yes, I will. Because it's my will for you to be healed. Wow. Hallelujah. God desires to carry out his will. But God's will is not always acknowledged by man. Sometimes we don't get the answers to our prayer because we're not dealing with it and facing it as God would have us to. And Satan gets a victory in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a test. In 2 Peter chapter 3, a verse that you're very familiar with, but in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anyone can get saved. That looks to God to do it his way. But when you look to something else, to other religions, to your will, to your ways, to find what only God can give through the blood of Christ, you will not be saved. Even though it was God's will for you to be saved. But you have to turn to do it God's way. When you do it God's way and you understand what the Bible says and you do exactly what the Bible says a person must do to be saved, then God desires to carry out his will and he will save you. Love that. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And there is great hallelujah, shouting, rejoicing. because it was done exactly as God would have it to be done. One last thing here. Jesus charges this man after the healing. The Bible says, and he charged him, or if you will, he commissioned him after he received this healing. Two different things here, real quickly. The first, he says, tell no man. Now, some have a hard time with that because that is opposite what we are to do today. We find the healing and answered prayer and salvation. But Christ had not went to the cross yet. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, in commissioning him to tell no man, it was so that others could come as this man came, with the right kind of attitude to receive all that he had for them. Now, he went on to say, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities, and he withdrew himself because he couldn't do the work that he came to do as God wanted to do it. And the same events, only recorded in Mark's account. I want you to look with me there at Mark. Mark chapter 1 and verse 45. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 45, we find this is Mark's account of the very same event of the healing of the leper. He said, but he went out, this leper, after he was healed, after he was charged. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus, and this is what happened, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, which was a hindrance to what Jesus was looking to accomplish at that particular time. But was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So as we look here, the idea was that Jesus was not focused on the crowd who just wanted to be fed or to have physical infirmities healed. He was looking for those who desired to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah first and to acknowledge his will. Can I tell you that today, as I look at that and I want to learn from that, numbers is never the main thing. Growing a crowd is not the work of the church. Now, I understand, and I praise the Lord for it, every individual represents a lost soul that needs to get saved. And I'm all for reaching the world, all lost souls to be saved. But can I tell you, when we're looking to build the church, Jesus will build his church. And we have to maintain doing things the way Christ wants them to be done and letting Christ build the church. We need to stop thinking that building the church is going to take place when we get our way and we start doing what we want to do. You might build a crowd, but you lose the power of the presence of God in that place. Today we have the Great Commission. Today we are to tell everyone so that all can see Jesus and find the help as they face the struggles of life. The second charge he gave him was to obey the law. He was still under Old Testament law. there was a testimony in obeying Old Testament law that God wanted as long as people were under the law. I love that. Because they were to do it the way that God had established for them to do it under the law. And likewise today, we are to continue to do it the way that Christ established us to do it. Because we're under Christ. A new and living way. Not doing away with the Old Testament, but fulfilling the Old Testament and putting into place. Reaching the world. Matthew chapter 28, and we're done. Because this is what we're under today. As we look to Jesus, and we have our prayers being answered, and we have God working in our lives, that we must commit to the challenge that He's given to us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's more people struggling today than possibly any other day in the United States of America, because we have a greater number of people. But we also have great battles. It's important for the church. It's important for you and I to be under the teachings of Christ and do exactly as He would have us to do. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. Are we coming to Christ in a way that He can answer our prayers? He can meet our needs? If we're not, maybe we need to turn things around. Father, we bow before You tonight. We do love You, Lord, and thank You for the love that You have for us. We thank You for Your church. We thank You for this holy word that You've given to us and all the illustrations and all the teachings of our Savior. And as we have studied here tonight, this healing of the leper, I pray that we would all be helped by it and learn from it. I pray that You would bless now this invitation. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.